Grant stuck a fork in the plate before him. He had forgotten what it was supposed to be. Some soy derivative or another, masquerading as real food. "Have you found anything?" Cardenas asked quietly. With a half-hearted shrug, Grant answered, "Looks like the oxygen feed line to the rocket engine gave out. Pure oxygen dumped into the hot exhaust. Boom." "And what caused the line to fail?" Grant looked at her. Cardenas seemed wary, as if she expected an answer she didn't really want to hear. "Don't know yet," he said. Before she could reply, Grant added, "But the coupling that connected the feed line to the rocket's combustion chamber was made of the same alloy that our spacesuit collars are made of."
"The same alloy?"
"Yeah. Some coincidence, eh?"
"What are you saying, Grant?"
He ran a weary hand across his saddened eyes. "The same kind of nanobugs that ate through Winston's spacesuit collar could have eaten through the oxygen line's coupling." Cardenas took the news without flinching.
"But how could they get there? It's just not likely. It's pretty close to impossible."
"Close only counts in horseshoes," Grant said. "Maybe it is unlikely, but that's what happened. I'm certain of it."
"You're jumping to a conclusion that—"
"Here's another conclusion I've jumped to," he interrupted. "It's not just the shelter at Mendeleev that's been hit by the nanos. We're infected here, right here, at Farside."
"You don't have any evidence for that.
Tell that to Derek and his co-pilot."
"For Christ's sakes, Chris, you came within 10 seconds of getting killed yourself."
The two technicians at the other table looked up at the sound of Grant's raised voice. The administrator kept on reading peacefully. Cardenas stared at Grant for several moments, silent, looking almost resentful. "We're going to have to quarantine this facility, Chris," Grant said, his voice lower. "Nobody in, nobody out. Not until we find out how those bugs got here, and who brought them."
Nanofear. "This teleconference is a farce," Cardenas thought. "Instead of discussing the design of the space-based telescope mirrors, Halleck's engineers wanted to talk about nothing except the accident."
She was sitting in the recliner in her quarters facing the wall screen, which showed the three engineers side by side at a table in one of Cellini's conference rooms. Two of them were good-looking young men. The third, an older woman, portly, matronly, wearing a scarlet-red scoop-necked blouse that showed plenty of fatty cleavage. The men had the sense to wear ordinary business attire. Dark cardigan jackets over turtleneck shirts.
"There are all sorts of rumors flying around Cellini," said one of the young men. He was blonde with pale blue eyes.
"I'm sure there are," Cardenas said, eager to get back to the subject for their meeting.
The other guy, his dark hair shaved down to a fuzz, added,
"Cellini's sending an accident investigation team to Farside."
Before Cardenas could reply, the woman asked,
"Do you think nanomachines could have had anything to do with the accident?"
"That's what everybody's wondering about," said the blonde. Cardenas bit back the sharp denial that was her first instinctive reply. Measuredly, she answered,
"That's a possibility that must be investigated, of course."
"I think it's a remote possibility. But still, the investigators will have to look into it." The blonde went on,
"I mean, Farside's using nanos to build their mirrors, after all."
"That," said Cardenas, "is like saying that since Farside is using plasma torches in the construction of the underground facilities here, plasma torches might have caused the rocket's explosion."
"Not really the same, though, is it?"
the woman engineer said, with a knowing smile that was almost a sneer. Cardenas admitted,
"Not quite the same, I suppose."
The data bar across the bottom of the wall screen started blinking red, then displayed, "Additional caller, Mrs. Anita Halleck." The screen split to show Halleck, looking coolly elegant in a crisply tailored pale chartreuse blouse and a long fall of chestnut hair draped artfully down one shoulder.
"I'm sorry to interrupt," she said,
a slight smile curving her full lips.
"I just arrived here at Cellini, only to find that you're at Farside, Dr. Cardenas."
Somewhat flustered, Cardenas replied,
"I didn't realize you intended to join this conference in person, Mrs. Halleck."
"Oh, yes,"
Halleck said coolly.
"My staff must have failed to make that clear to you."
The three engineers on the other half of the screen looked just as surprised as Cardenas felt.
"Well," Cardenas temporized, "I should be back at Cellini in a few days at most."
Halleck seemed to consider that information for a moment. Then,
"I doubt that I can wait that long.
But I do want to personally inform you that despite this unfortunate accident at Fireside, I intend to press ahead with our construction of the mirrors using nanomachines. I want to make that perfectly clear.
Cardenas sat up straighter. I'm delighted to hear that, Mrs. Halleck.
Just because there's been an accident at Fireside, there's no reason to delay our own work.
The woman engineer's head bobbed up and down.
Yes, of course.
The two male engineers glanced at each other. Then they began to nod, too. Cardenas suppressed a grin. At least Halleck has her head screwed on right, she thought. Now maybe we can get back to work.
Grant was just getting into bed when Trudy called. He started to tell the phone to answer, but hesitated as he realized that he was naked.
Hell, she's seen me naked, he thought. Still, he ordered the phone. Reply audio only. Trudy's face filled the wall screen. She looked tired, concerned, almost frightened.
Grant, I'm sorry to call so late.
It's all right, he said, sitting on his bed and pulling the sheet up to his waist.
I'm worried about Professor Ulrich, she said.
The ulcer?
Grant, he's terribly concerned, she said earnestly. He tries not to show it in front of you, but he's worried that this team of investigators coming in from Cellini is going to shut us down completely.
He's worried he won't get the Nobel Prize, Grant replied sourly. That's the only thing he gives a damn about.
That's not fair,
isn't it? Trudy bit her lip for a moment, then asked,
Can I come over to your place? We need to talk.
No, he snapped. She looked surprised, hurt, agonized, Grant explained. Look, Trudy, my body's filled with nanomachines. All this trouble might be my fault. I'm not going to risk hurting you. I can't.
But you said Dr. Cardenas told you it couldn't be your fault.
Who else? I get injected with nanos at Cellini. I come back here and the tractor engine dies. Then Wynn gets killed. And now the lobber blows up. Everything I touch.
It's not you, Grant. I know it's not.
He knew he should feel touched at her reaction. Instead, he felt almost angry. And how do you know it's not? He challenged. Her face dimpling into a grin, Trudy said,
You've touched me, haven't you? I haven't fallen apart.
Grant shook his head wearily. Trudy, this isn't a joke.
But it's true, isn't it?
You're not made of metal, Grant said.
So there's no problem, then, is there?
She looked absolutely impish now. You can't...
I'll be there in 5 minutes, Trudy said.
Then the screen went blank. Cellini. Doug Stavanger was getting into bed next to his wife, who was intently studying a handheld reader. Must be pretty interesting, he said, sliding a hand along her naked thigh. Edith gave him a sidelong glance.
Must be 6,000 requests from Ursa news bureaus for interviews with Professor Ulrich.
Because of the accident?
No,
Edith said, finally shutting down the reader and placing it carefully on her night table.
Because of New Earth.
Stavanger felt his brows hike with surprise. You mean that report Ulrich released yesterday? Edith snuggled down under the sheet as she replied,
Yep. Not only is New Earth just about the same size as Earth, it's also got an Earth-type atmosphere. Oxygen and water vapor.
And the news media are clamoring for interviews with the professor?
They surely are. He's a famous man all of a sudden.
They're not asking about the accident?
Nope. I guess they figure rockets blow up now and then. That's not news.
New Earth's atmosphere is news, Stavanger said. Just as well, I suppose.
Got a lot of requests to visit Fireside, interview the professor face to face.
Can't do that, Stavanger said. The facility's under quarantine.
What? Since when?
Since late this afternoon. There's a possibility that the rocket blow-up was caused by nanomachines.
Holy spit. Nanos?
It's a remote possibility, but if Fireside is infected, we don't want it to spread here.
Hell no,
Edith said with fervor. The Council's sending an investigating team over there tomorrow.
Will Chris Cardenas go with them?
Chris is already there, Stavanger said. She just missed being on the lobber that blew up.
Lord Almighty on a bicycle, Edith muttered.
What a new story that's going to make. No, Stavanger snapped. Not a word to the news media.
I knew you'd say that.
We don't want to start a frenzy. Next thing you know, the Luddites back Earthside will start trying to tell us how to run Cellini again.
But we've got all these media folks wanting to interview Ulrich.